Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Is a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. My featured guest today is Greg Weinstein. Since 2008, Greg Weinstein has been director of Swift Business Solutions, a web development and hosting company that specializes in internet presence management, particularly with an emphasis in helping companies manage their social media presence. Greg Weinstein, welcome to the Career Callings Radio Show today, sir. How are you?
Hey, Robbie, I'm doing really well. I think if I was any better, I'd probably be guilty of something.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, one of the things I did not say in our interview, or actually in my introduction to you is what I meant to say, is that we've known each other for years now, and I consider you a good friend. And I know a lot about you that I didn't say in the biography, but there's a lot of people out there listening right now who don't know who Greg Weinstein is. So take a second to tell us a little bit about Greg Weinstein.
Wow. Where to begin? I'm very fortunate and blessed man. I am the father of an amazing 17, going to be 18 year old that has come to put bigger smiles on my face as she's grown into the woman that she is. I'm blessed. And I'll share this, Robbie, you know this. I've been married 22 times.
That's right.
Fortunately to the same woman, each year in a different state. And that's come to be an amazing blessing, and an opportunity for us to sneak away, recenter and refocus our relationship on God and each other, kind of get out of this race that we run.
That's amazing. That's amazing. We just got to keep you guys alive long enough so you can get all 50 states in.
Right. Well, and yeah. We have plans to hit a few countries too, so we'd like to, make it long past 50.
Nothing wrong with having a big, hairy, audacious goal, right?
Right. Think big.
Think big. That's
I mean,
right.
What does Zig Ziglar say? He says, "If you don't aim at anything, you'll hit it."
That's right. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time.
There you go. Thank you.
There it is. There it is. Well, tell us a little bit more about what you are doing right now vocationally, and how you got to this point in your career.
So today I'm fortunate to be the director of Swift Business Solutions. We've been in business now, coming up on 10 years, and this comes after a very interesting, time and transition. And it might be good if I share what that was. So 11 years ago, renewing our vows, my wife and I traveled to North Carolina and, spent some of our time in Asheville. And that at the coaxing of a friend, migrated south for a couple of days to South Carolina, specifically the upstate, and found a very unique and pleasant area where, coming from the California area, I had always heard of but never really experienced Southern hospitality. And it was something that I enjoyed so much that it flying home from our anniversary, I would often every year, I'd elbow my wife and say, I could live here. And I did that in Alaska. I did that in, just about every state that we traveled in, but this was the first time that she looked back and said, I could too. And we were at a point in time in our lives where we had sold a business that we started, from the ground up, and had sold it and found ourselves in a position to move. So we live life as it's an adventure. But we, hindsight today, it was also God calling us. God calling us to kind of get out of the Southern California rat race and routine, and prepare ourselves to experience something greater and bigger. So we took a step of faith, no friends, no family, no work, and we moved to South Carolina. And after 20 years in the graphics industry, we enjoyed a period of time, a season of rewiring. And then God led me to take my past business experience of communication graphically and roll it into the designing and developing of web presence for small to mid-sized companies. And that business has grown tremendously, fortunately, and I think it has something to do with the way we serve. So Swift Business Solutions is a web design, custom web design company. We host, we manage, and in the last couple of years, we've grown a team to also communicate for our clients. So we do a lot of online communications. We have authors that will also ghostwrite for some clients. And so we'll help them with maintaining their social media presence and, you know, just communicate well, both online and off.
Sounds like things are going extremely well right now, but you know, I'm sure that's not always been the case. My guess is either in your current vocational endeavor or perhaps a past one, there was a time when you had a really distressing entrepreneurial moment or career moment. So if you don't mind, take a second to tell us about your worst career failure and what you learned from that experience.
There have certainly been some things that, you know, one might consider a failure. But I really over time have really learned to try and fail forward. Meaning that, you know, things are going to happen. I mean, we don't know when or where, but it's how we respond. And after we kind of migrate through those, failures, if that's what you want to call them, I like to turn around and look and like, okay, how do we avoid that again? And then develop, you know, either procedures or policies, you know, to keep us from doing that. I mean, but I think mistakes are actually something that sharpen us and allow us to become better.
Good, good. Well, what's the big one that shaped you and made you better?
Well, years and years ago in our manufacturing company, there was a time to where, you know, my wife and I'll never forget this moment. And, you know, again, I try not to look at it as a failure, but there was a time where we felt we had reached a level of success to where, and entrepreneurs know this, right? You're lured into the idea and concept of running your own business by some of the freedoms that you can enjoy. And my wife and I one morning were said, you know what, we've reached it. Let's go out instead of going into the office. Let's go have a cup of coffee. And, you know, we weren't 15 minutes into the cup of coffee only to get a phone call from our office that something critical. We used to manufacture custom mailboxes for a home builder in California. And in California, they cannot close escrow unless the mailbox is installed. So we had, I think it might have been a dozen mailboxes that absolutely positively had to be installed to a certain specification on this particular day. And if they didn't, that meant that these houses would not close escrow. So you can begin to think what that might mean. We get a call 15 minutes into our cup of coffee with the thought that these mailboxes were already en route, ready to be installed, only to find out that they were not manufactured correctly and then would not pass inspection and ultimately not be able to be installed. So that, you know, we worked through that failure, if you will. We found and created a solution that allowed the houses to close. But ultimately, the toughest thing I ever had to do was to identify who was to blame for that. And because of a recent change in our company policy at the time, I had to hold my right hand accountable. And ultimately, you know, they lost their job. So making a tough decision like that, you know, while it hurt me financially to get through that, I also at the same time lost somebody that I had spent years developing trust in, simply because, you know, earlier we had drawn a line, if you will, and had to hold people accountable. And the last person I thought would be the first person to go would be my right hand.
That's tough. That's never fun to have to let someone go. And what would you say is the biggest lesson that you learned from that experience?
Communication. Clarity and communication, and then ultimately, you know, making sure that, you know, so one of the things often I've referred to myself as a circus juggler. And if we're sitting in the audience and we watch them, we can see, you know, balls up in the air, right? And how I work with my team is I will grab one of my balls and I'll engage them in conversation and communication and make sure that the next step as I hand this ball off to them is it's clearly understood, so that I can pick up another ball and start juggling, if you will. So spending the time, you know, that minutes or hours in a meeting, whatever it might need, making sure that, you know, any questions or comments. So asking questions, giving the opportunity for clear conversation. So communication has been, which is, you know, the business that we're in now and why I think we've been so successful is because of our attention to detail and communication.
And that's a wrap on segment number one of today's edition of Career Callings. Come back in a few for segment number two.
I opened the digital doors of careercallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources. Discipline, mental toughness, physical conditioning, personal responsibility, work ethic, and a great way to pay for college. What am I talking about? The Olympic sport of fencing. Fencing builds all of these character traits, and the Knights of Siena coaches who train tomorrow's champions today can help your child or grandchild develop these traits. To learn more, go to knightsofsiena.com. That's Knights of Siena, KNIGHTSOFSIENA.com. And mention Career Callings to get your first month free.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at wbcs.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a healthcare home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Looking for a reason to roam through the night.
to segment number two of today's edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Now let's get back to our interview with Greg Weinstein. How are you currently using your career to impact others for Christ?
How am I using this career to impact others for Christ? That's a great, I don't know, you know, directly through media, perhaps not so much, but I absolutely seize the opportunity in business meetings with clients to engage them and test them after, especially after I've earned their trust. So not necessarily as a prospect, but when they've become a trusted, when we've become a trusted client, I will engage them in meetings and ask them, you know, how are they serving the community? How are they giving back and things of that nature? So a component of our business is actually challenging our clients to be active community partners and then ultimately benefiting the individuals within that community.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you're doing that yourself, because I know from just knowing you about your ministry, Food from the Heart. So speak to that for a few minutes and how you're using that to impact the community.
That continues to be just a gift that I never would have expected. So many years ago, my wife and I were in a small group environment at Saddleback Church, and we challenged our group to come up with a thought and concept that, you know, we could give back. And after a week thinking, we all circled back around and ultimately we landed on doing a food drive for the Orange County Rescue Mission, which is an amazing beneficiary. So I made a phone call to them the next day and I said, hey, we're excited. We're going to do a food drive. And we want you to, you know, tell us how we can get the food to you. And they said, well, we'll come pick it up on Monday. And so we were a group of professionals at the time, and we asked ourselves a couple of simple questions. People want to give, but don't know where to give, don't make the time to give, and don't know what to give, right? So we positioned ourselves to remove those three hurdles in front of grocery stores with a red bag and a short list of the needed items that for the Orange County Rescue Mission. In a normal food drive, they told us that they would collect about 200 pounds of food, which is a lot. You know, I'm not going to dismiss that, but I knew that God had something bigger planned. Eight of us set out on a Saturday morning, worked 8 hours, and collected over 2.5 tons of food by simply being in front and engaged with our peers that were shopping. I'm going to fast forward because God's done an amazing thing. So I don't want to dismiss 2.5 tons of food that fed a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But most recently here in South Carolina, we've trained churches how to do these food drives. And we had 85 grocery stores, so 1,600 people serving in front of 85 grocery stores on a single day, collected over 100 tons of food here.
Amen.
It was an amazing gift. So, I mean, that's another component that we do. So not only do we help local food pantries come to build partnerships with churches, and what God has shown me, and I don't want to dismiss the food, okay, but what God has actually revealed to me is this is actually a tool to move people into service and into mission, local missions first. And I've had dozens of people tell me over the years how it's actually opened their eyes to the opportunity to go and serve in missions, you know, throughout the world.
You know, it just goes to show that if you were raised in a mindset like I was, that the only way you can serve the Lord is by becoming a pastor or a missionary or some quote unquote full-time Christian service, just goes to show that the Lord uses all of his people in a variety of ways. And Greg, the way you've impacted people both in California and in this area as well is just, using the business sense that God trained you with to apply that to a food drive ministry that enables the gospel to get out to people in ways and at levels that otherwise maybe it couldn't have gotten out to. And, you know, that's just a blessing and a challenge for all of us to seek the Lord's will to show us how we can share the gospel and disciple others through the way that he's gifted us to do. So, amen for that. And thank you for your testimony and for your example in that effort, Food from the Heart. And just out of curiosity, I know later on in the interview, I'll give you a chance to give out your contact information should you desire to do so people can reach out to you. But is there a website tied specifically to Food from the Heart if someone wants to deal with that, or would they just reach out to you by email, or how does that work?
They can reach out to me via email. You know, that was a struggle and a tough decision. At one stage of the game, there was in my industry that I'm currently fully engaged in, it would be a blessing. But we on purpose operate behind the scenes, often referred to as a silent sleeping giant. But if somebody is interested in this and would like to know more about it, they can certainly reach out to me via email.
Okay, great. We'll get your email address at the end of the interview, and I'll certainly post it on careercallings.net with the page that goes with this interview. How about this? What would you say is your number one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
My number one habit. I fall back on the biggest life lesson of communication, and this has been both in my personal life and my business. And it is a habit. I probably to a fault am too upfront, and I'm actually trying to peel back a little bit, be more compassionate. But open, honest communication, I think, is the one habit I'm most consistent with and adhere, and I think it has driven success.
Very good. A lot of our listeners are business owners, or they want to be. And certainly with your track record of starting and selling three businesses, you can definitely answer this question. What three things would you tell a new startup business owner to do in order to be successful?
Above all, love what you do. Love what you do. So many people, I think, can get caught up with just needing to make sure that they pay the bills. And I understand that has to happen. But I think certainly one of the components why we've achieved success in the businesses that we've had is we loved what we did. So that would absolutely be one thing. And you can monetize anything these days. If you can find a passion, and then identify someone that will compensate you in some way, shape, or form for that. That would be at the top. Second would probably know and be positioned to communicate well what you do. Have an elevator pitch, if you will, something that is short, sweet, to the point, with a close and the opportunity to leave your card. You know, anytime you're engaged in a close proximity to somebody, an elevator, Starbucks coffee line. And don't be, if you're within 3 feet sphere of somebody, don't be afraid to engage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's number three?
Number three, I come back to one that I shared earlier, and that's also been a key to success. While my clients have company names and personal names, I put God's face on every one of them. And I look serve them as if he is our client.
Amen. Amen. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, right, brother?
Yes, sir.
Amen to that. Other than the Bible, which we know is the number one book everybody should read, what would be one book you would recommend to our listeners and why?
So I mentioned one of them earlier, and that is Man in the Mirror by Patrick Morley. It speaks specifically to the 24 things that men struggle with. And that has recently been updated last year. And so that would be one book. And a book that I'm working through right now, and I'm struggling for the author's name. I'm going to try and look it up. But Experiencing God is a study that we've recently gone through that has made a significant impact in my life. And the opportunity that our relationship would be more than one-sided, but that we might actually experience him and have an opportunity for him to use us is another book that has impacted me.
Yep. Yep. I hear you. That would be Blackaby, Henry Blackaby.
Yes, sir.
Experiencing God. Yeah. I've added that one to my books to read list because that's not the first time I've heard that title given out. So thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. If you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go out into the real world?
You know, so I have a high school, she would be a senior, but she chose to graduate a year early, bless her. My daughter has taught me a very valuable lesson in the last year. And it comes back to something I just shared a few minutes ago. So she is going to be a dance instructor. And in my mind, I want to take her down a path of being an entrepreneur and help her build an academy and you know, achieve goals that way. But she showed me and, you know, reaffirmed that that's not, you know, my dream is not her dream. So one, have a dream, and two, pursue it. And three, you know, come back again. One other thing I shared as one of my successes is love what you do. I don't know if that answers the question. That doesn't, you know, love what you do is a critical component. I see so many people that are not happy, in their job or many in their career. They're just kind of, you know, kind of rolling through life. And I would say that God's got so much planned for you. And I think part of that plan is that you must enjoy what you do.
Yep, and that definitely answered my question. So thank you for that. Well, I have been blessed, Greg, by our conversation, and I'm sure a lot of other people have been as well. So if somebody wanted to reach out to you and follow up in any way, whether it be to try to learn more about Food from the Heart or just any other way as well, what would be the best way people can connect with you?
Well, certainly they can find us online on our website at swiftbusinesssolutions.com. There'd be three S's in the middle and an S on the end. I can be reached directly at greg@swiftbusinesssolutions.com. Certainly, I enjoy being engaged on LinkedIn. Greg Weinstein, Weinstein. And Twitter, I can be followed at Swift4Web.
That's all awesome. And we'll be sure to link to all of those ways to get in touch with Greg at careercallings.net on the webpage that goes with today's interview. Greg Weinstein, thanks so much for being a guest on today's edition of Career Callings.
Thank you, Robbie. I enjoyed the time.
Me too, man. You have a blessed day.
Bye now.
And that's a wrap on today's edition of Career Callings. As always, you can go to careercallings.net/radio to get access to today's broadcast via a podcast. And as always, you can get the entire interview I conducted with Greg on the podcast version, even the stuff we could not fit into a 30-minute on-air interview here on the radio. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless.
To learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings.
What would you say has been your biggest career success?
Creating balance, and let me say that that's ongoing. Years and years ago, I was in my first men's group that I had the opportunity to be a part of. We read a book by Patrick Morley called Man in the Mirror. And in that very first chapter, it talks about the rat race. And clearly, when I think about the rat race, I instantly visualize this rat or mouse running in a circle on the wheel, right? And I get to the end of this chapter, and it asks a very important question that changed the direction in my life. Do you know anybody that's ever won that race?
That's a good question.
And then once you ask that question, then the follow-up question, why would you run a race that you can't win?
Yeah, it's even better.
Right?
That's good.
So it balance became a focus. And so to come to your question, the best thing that we ever did in that day in manufacturing, we brought our team to a 980 work week. And what that did is it allowed us to bring balance not only into our personal lives, but also to our staff. We were able to create loyalty and give a benefit that had no cost monetarily, but our competition at the time had nothing like that. You know, so it really, and it was an opportunity for us to also demonstrate to our staff that life was meant to be enjoyed, not endured. And, you know, so that was probably one of the biggest things.
Define 980 work week for people.
Sure. So, back then, 40 hours in a work week. And what we would do is everybody would work 9 hours a day and bank 1 hour, for 2 weeks, ultimately working towards having every other Friday off. So we would work 9 hours in a work day and 80 hours in 2 weeks. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Yeah, that okay. Sure does. That sure does. Good deal. Good deal. And that sounded like that fostered a lot of goodwill in the company. And I would imagine it also probably made people more productive. Did it not?
In many ways, you know, so we were a wholesale manufacturer. So every Friday we told our clients, and some of them said, my gosh, you're crazy. You'll never make it. We actually flourished. And one of the things from operating efficiently is our clients at the time, and it wasn't on purpose, but they didn't know which Friday that we were off. So the phones were quite a bit quieter every Friday that we were working. So yes, it did foster greater efficiencies. Our production timelines were smoother. And one other, if I were to, you know, one of the things that afforded us the opportunity to do was begin to share our faith to our staff. We brought God into our business early at that time, and we caused them to, you know, they would only see names on a paper for production. So we were able to coach them to thinking that what we were producing, the products that we made, were for God, our client. So that too raised our level of quality and service.
That's good. That's good. And I've kind of gathered a couple thoughts from this. Number one, just a reminder that, you know, you have the ability to bring God into your workplace at any time, especially if you're the owner of the company. You can do that. But even so, even if you're not the owner of the company, you have opportunities, whether large or small, to bring the Lord to someone who needs him at a particular time. Maybe you have a coworker that's going in for some surgery, and just to offer to pray with them that you're bringing God into, or pray for them. You're bringing God into that situation. Maybe your folks at the workplace will let you have a Bible study or whatnot. But there's so many ways we don't do it because we go into the workplace with a mindset that we can't. All we need to do is ask God to show us how we can bring him into the workplace, and he will enable us to do so. Another thing that came to mind is this idea of the 980 work week has a great application to general productivity. Greg, have you ever heard of something called the Pomodoro method? Does that ring a bell with you?
Not with me. No, it doesn't.
It's just something I've recently heard of. And basically it's a fancy name for being focused for a short period of time, then taking short breaks, then being focused again for a short period of time in order to to get work done and focused attention. When we're working all the time, I forget how it's been phrased, but there's an old saying out there like basically tasks expand to the time you allot them. And if you give yourself 30, 40, 60 minutes of focused attention and tell yourself you're not going to allow any distractions and stay focused on that, and your reward is at the end of that time frame, you give yourself 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 minutes to just relax and do whatever. It's a major way to get more focused attention on your task. And that's kind of what happened, at least to some degree, I would imagine. When you know you're going to get every other Friday off, you know you're motivated, as that being your reward, to do more in the time that you are allotting for the work. So great productivity tip there, if I may say that you've given it to us, sir. Thank you for that. When people are trying to figure out what God's vocational calling is in their lives, good hints towards which direction to go or not to go are our weaknesses and strengths. So setting up this question that way, what would you say is your biggest weakness in the workplace?
Wow. My biggest weakness. My biggest weakness, and I might take too much, I might give too much of myself to a project and or a client. So if we're retained to do something, and that could also be considered a strength and why we do so well as well. I mean, so we give a great value, but there comes a time to where I think we need to learn to say no, if not verbally, certainly mentally, and find our exit. So my biggest weakness right now, personally, that I would say, is I, you know, if I allocate and sell, you know, something that's, you know, 4 or 10 hours worth of my time, often I can find myself 16 to 20 hours in just making sure that I deliver the highest level quality of product or service.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a guest not long ago that said he has learned that his business needs to be part of his ministry and not let his ministry be part of his business. And what that speaks to me is, you know, if we're not careful, we can let our workplace consume us to such a degree that everything else that's part of our lives, that's part of our ministry, can get left behind. Family, friends, church. And it goes back to that balance issue you mentioned a little while ago. Mm-hmm. We need to understand that business, work, has its place in the overall mix, and we have other areas of ministry we cannot ignore. What about your biggest strength?
My biggest strength, I think, is probably tied to my biggest weakness, is the level of service that we give. In our company, you know, with web development, I heard someone say that, yeah, they're kind of like belly buttons. They're everywhere, right?
that's a visual I could have done without. Well, thanks a lot, pal.
I mean, if you know, let's speak to it. A question I like to ask often, you know, for business owners, is how many first impressions do you get?
Yeah.
Right. We only get one. And so in a day and time when better than 90% of your first impression, even from people that have heard your name or company name before, they're going to look you up. They're going to look you up on a mobile device or at home, and I can speak to some clients that see a ton of traffic. And so why would you trust that first impression to somebody that's part-time or kind of just doing it on the side? They're my greatest salespeople. So, you know, because they'll do something and then they disappear, and then the business owner is searching for someone to help fix it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So, you only get one first impression, and, you know, I don't know if that answered your question directly, but I think my greatest strength is having started and sold 3 different businesses. I get and understand the need for a return on investment with an owner or a management team. And that's a huge value. You know, there are a lot of folks that can make things look good, but how do they actually perform?
Yeah. And you did answer my question. It basically goes back to what you said earlier. You care and you pour yourself into your work. And what's that verse in the Bible? See a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. And so just being diligent and putting yourself into your work, that's really good. That's all good. Was there a time in your life when you were confused about which career path God would have you follow? And if so, how did he kind of clear that smoke for you?
Yeah, I mean, long, long ago when I was a young man, I actually was transitioning in between businesses, and I, out of high school, I was involved in what is the automotive aftercare industry, mobile detailing, if you will. I had a passion and a love for clean cars, still do, and I was very fortunate. So I turned that into a business, to where I maintained people's cars. But I was getting to a point in time in my life where I thought, is this what I want to be doing when I get to a certain age? And so I started seeking and found what I think was God's next step for me in the graphics manufacturing business, architectural visuals. But for a short period of time, I would be pulling equipment out of the back of a truck and then racing to a prospect or client to serve within the sign business. And then one day he came to me, he said, stop. It was that clear to me. So there was no, I was in the clouds or in the fog, if you will, trying to make both businesses happen. But the best decision I ever made was to give all I've had to give to the one thing that to only one thing. When I divided my attention, I did not give my best to both. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it certainly does. It certainly does. And so you just basically felt the Holy Spirit or heard the Holy Spirit telling you that, or did he bring any other kind of circumstances into your life to clarify that for you? Or was it just that one voice, that's still a small voice?
Well, certainly it was a small voice, but I would also say that my wife had a great role in that conversation. You know, we've been very fortunate. And again, while we've been married 22 years, we've worked together for over 23 years. So she's become a trusted partner, not only in life, but in our business. And, you know, she plays a role in those decisions and did in that one.
Awesome. Have you ever been faced with a challenge to your faith in the workplace? And if so, tell us a little bit about it.
I don't know. No, sir. I haven't. I'll have occasionally some people that will just, you know, look at me unique and, you know, basically kind of sharing nonverbally that they're not a believer or do not subscribe to any kind of a relationship with God or anybody else at that matter. But at my faith, I've never been challenged in the workplace. And that would be, I would suggest, I would encourage then your listeners to consider being bold like that. And that's something I've learned most recently that's something he's asked us to do, is to be bold and take chances and leaps and, you know, kind of push the envelope. Lord knows we're being pushed in other places, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, of all the times I've handed out a gospel tract or made some mention of the Lord to someone, it's always been preceded by a thought that this person is going to get angry at me. And honestly, I cannot remember a single time in my life when anybody's ever gotten angry with me. Now, there have been a couple of folks who have said, no, thank you, and turned the gospel tract away, but they weren't like pulling out a machete and whacking at me or anything like that. So yeah, be bold. It's not going to be as scary as you think.
I will seize this opportunity to share something that a pastor shared with me on a mission trip that has absolutely impacted my walk and the way I present. So we were a group of 40 in Boston planting a church. And before we went out handing out gum and breakfast bars at the T, which is the transit system in the Boston metro area, he cautioned us on preaching. He says, I know that you guys may be called to preach the gospel, but I want you to consider displaying the gospel. And I think that's something we might forget often as disciples, is that yes, there are a variety of different ways that we can communicate. And it doesn't always necessarily have to be verbally, that a lot of people are actually watching us. And I think there's a unique opportunity for us to display the gospel.
Very, very well said. Now, a little while ago, I asked you about whether or not there was a time in your life when you were confused about which direction God would have you go. How about has there been a time in your life when you knew what God wanted you to do and you just did not want to go down that path? Has there been a time like that in your career?
Probably not in my career. No, I think I'd like to think that I enjoy a really close relationship with God in a variety of circumstances, including the food drive that you brought up earlier and other things, has actually taught me to embrace his direction. Moving to South Carolina, no friends, no family, no work, and being without, you know, a paycheck for over a year and a half, that was a tough time. But I just trust, and he's not going to ask me to do anything that I'm not prepared, you know, to that he's not going to prepare me for.
Tell you what, that's a level of trust that so many Christians lack, and you know, I've been guilty of it myself in the past many, many times when I would be when I would think I would know the path better than God. And so your example just shows how if we can set aside our own wisdom and take on God's wisdom, even though it may not make perfect sense to us at first, at the end, in the end, it'll always work out better. It sounds like every decision you've given over to the Lord, Greg, has turned out wonderful. Both food from the heart and coming here, all the above has worked out just as the Lord would have it in your life. So good challenge for those of us who are a little bit more stubborn. How about your number one business habit, assuming it might be different than a personal habit? Your number one business habit that drives your career success?
I think in recently a habit, again, internally unspoken, saying no to achieve that level of balance that I find myself constantly chasing. So identifying and most recently I've come to, you know, someone shared a saying to me, the day is won or lost in the first hour of the day. And I think having a habit of a morning quiet time, I know the days that I spend with the Lord are part of my most successful days. But when I compound it with after that time with him, that I make sure that my phone is off and I ask myself some questions like what has to happen for me to be successful today? And what am I most excited about today? You know, so when I ask myself some positive forward thinking questions that allow me to plot and plan without having being distracted by emails or texts or things of that nature, which certainly will be there once I engage the day. That's some of my newest habits.
That's really good. I'm trying to get more and more in tune with that statement that you made. Not long ago, I read a book called The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. You ever run into that book before?
I have not read that book.
It's a great read. It's just basically, if I were to boil it down, the lesson is basically what you just said. You're that first hour or two is when your day is won or lost. And that book's all about developing routines to make that first hour or two most effective. And of course, for Christians, incorporated in that first hour or two, like you said, needs to be our time with the Lord to get our heart and minds straight in the way he wants them to be straight. How about a productivity tool? Share a productivity tool that, you know, it can be internet-based or non-internet-based that enables you to achieve maximum effectiveness in the workplace.
So I smile when you say this because this productivity tool was brought to me by my partner in life and my bride. And it's not... I would love to say it's internet-based or an app-based, but it's a pen and piece of paper, and making lists, and you know, feeling the immense satisfaction of crossing things off that list.
It's addictive, isn't it?
It's awesome, you know. So yeah, now my downfall is I might have more than one pad, you know, but making my it helps me stay on point and achieve goals for clients as well as ourselves.
Amen and amen. And if I used to do it that way and I lost my pads so often or my notes so often, I prefer to do the digital route. And for the longest time, Evernote was my go-to note-taking system. And I still have uses for that. But the one I've kind of gravitated to list making wise is one I believe I've mentioned to you before, and I certainly have mentioned on the program before, is called Workflowy. Just a great way to make lists that you can zoom in on just the list you want to work on right now and remove distractions of all other lists and easily cross them off digitally and move them around and things of that nature. So If you're, you know, if you're ever looking at maybe going to the digital route, I'd suggest checking out Workflowy there.